Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
This is Patricia Camilleri, welcoming you to University Matters on Campus FM. In this series, together, we shall continue to discover more about the work of the university's academics and about the many activities that will be taking place on campus over the next year. I'm always very happy to have with me in the studio for University Matters on Campus FM students. And I have two lovely students today. I have Emma Gregg and Alexander Healy. And they're here to talk about their experiences on the Benjamin Franklin Transatlantic Summer Institute adventure, really. I suppose you could put it like that. Emma is the most recent student who went in this year, 2014, and Alexander went back in 2011, but I'm sure he has many recollections of his experiences. Welcome, first of all,
Thank you.
To you both. Perhaps I should mention, before talking about the actual fellowship that you follow, something about Benjamin Franklin. You can find out an enormous amount, obviously, on the internet. And in one of the articles, he's called the Electric Ben Franklin. And, of course, he's best known, I suppose, for his famous kite experiments, which actually helped to describe what lightning was all about. Of course, his talents were many and great. And this title of this particular article indicates he was electric in more ways than one. Born in January 1706, he had a very lowly background, really. He started off as a printer's assistant to his brother, and he had lived many vicissitudes. He ran away and tried to start his own businesses, but he was obviously a bright guy, and he managed to create for himself a business, became a businessman, and eventually got interested in politics. This is a real summary. I recommend that people go and read him up. He ended up in the UK, in London, representing Pennsylvania, and he ended up being actually instrumental in the drawing up of the Declaration of Independence. So he was chosen, I'm sure, as the anchor for this very interesting project, this Benjamin Franklin Transatlantic Fellows Initiative Summer Institute, because of his versatility, his many skills, and the fact that he was somebody who was very much a transatlantic person. He was back and forth from England, and so he well represents that kind of America becoming independent and becoming a new America. I'd just like to ask the students, Emma and Alexander, to introduce themselves, tell us what course they're on, and what actually interested them about joining this course. Perhaps we could start with Alexander. You did it in 2011, so it's a little bit removed now. At that time, what really instigated your interest?
When I entered the sixth form, I started getting really interested in other things apart from what I was studying. I'm studying science. I always studied science, but I'd like to keep my mind open and see other fields around me. And I remember I took part in Mini-European Assembly in 2009-10. I was so interested in it. I really worked hard for it, and I kept asking my systems of knowledge lecturers for help for how to tackle different problems. And then in 2010, in the start of the year, scholastic year, a lecturer came up to me and told me, you should apply for this because I think it would be very good for you and you have a good chance for it. I applied for it. I completely forgot about it. A-levels came and I was studying for them. I remember I was sitting in a room tackling physics with the teacher for physics, and the headmaster came in, knocked on the door, told me, you're going to America. And I just looked at him blankly and told him, I'm sorry, what? the teacher for physics just looked at me, can we continue with this? And it took me around 10 minutes to realize what had happened. Then I just told him, can I be excused? I went out and I just started screaming. I called my mom.
Same reaction.
And I told my mom, I'm going to America in around 3 months. And she told me, I'm sorry, what? She had completely forgotten I had applied, and everything just was a whole train of emotions and everything. I had the A-levels in a week and a half. I did the A-levels, and then I had a month to prepare myself mentally for it. I was buying stuff and everything, and then I just ended up going the day after my graduation, so I was quite tired, so I slept the whole way, don't remember anything on the way there.
Well, that's rather useful. Always nice to sleep on the plane. And you, Emma, what was your experience?
Well, I found out about BFTF on Facebook, and the same as Alex, I was a participant in Mini European Assembly, and I am a participant this year again, which really sparked my interest on European affairs and international affairs, so I really wanted to pursue those kind of things, even in my career. I'm studying law right now at the University of Malta, and I really wanted to go into something like international affairs and law. So, yeah, the same thing. I looked up the BFTF online, and I saw the participants of the past years, and there were some videos. I thought, it looks like a really cool opportunity, but I honestly didn't really believe that it was going to be accepted. So I said, let's just go for it. Let's just apply. And I did apply, and I went for the interview, and the same as Alex, I got the letter in the post. And as soon as I opened it, I just couldn't believe my eyes. And the same reaction, I called my mom. I was like, Mom, I'm going. And she had completely forgotten about it as well. But it was honestly such an unforgettable experience. It was really lovely.
Well, we'll go into the detail about that experience in a minute with both of you. I think we ought to mention what the Institute's goals are: to develop a commitment to transatlantic cooperation, to foster relationships between American and European youth from different ethnic, religious and national groups, to promote mutual understanding between the United States and Europe, and to develop a cadre of young leaders who will share their knowledge and skills with their peers through positive action. And about 35 Europeans and 10 Americans are chosen for this 3 to 4 week exchange. So it's quite a closed group, and I think you're really lucky to actually get that opportunity. About your experiences, in the sense of, do you feel that the Institute or the initiative actually did help you in these goals to develop commitment to transatlantic cooperation? I mean, how did it do that? What was your experience, Alexander, when you went there? Who were the people that you met up with?
The thing that I remember most vividly is I actually was shocked to have a culture shock. I was amazed that after we see America so much portrayed in the news, after we read so much about it, I went there and I was shocked. I was shocked about how the locals thought about everything. I was shocked about some people, how they thought about Europe. And I was shocked how they thought about the US themselves. Also, how the Europeans thought about the US. It was my first time to meet so many people from so many different places. I remember one of the people who just was like, what's happening? Why is this happening? It shouldn't be such a problem. I think coming from Malta, and especially working as a waiter, that helps me to understand and be more tolerant to other cultures, especially when you meet tourists all the time. But it was such an experience seeing people not being that tolerant to each other, and that made me realize how important such programs are. It made me realize how needed that it's not just going to BFTF, even afterwards, we need to continue doing this. We need to continue meeting up and trying to create projects, getting new people into the mix, and just distributing this idea that at the end of the day, there we were all teenagers. We all like the same things. We all like the same music. We all like playing video games. We all like going out, going to a movie. But before that set in, we were saying, but you're from there. There you have that stereotype. You're from there. You have that stereotype. And I think that's, if another scenario might have made things a bit more friction. But in this scenario, because we were all there, because we were mostly open-minded people, not mostly, all of us were open-minded people, our culture made us a bit closer-minded. But that helped us to open up and accept each other really fast. I mean, 2 days in, we were best friends.
Because in actual fact, it's not just a Maltese student going to America. You're going to meet these 34 other European students, more or less your same age. So, as you say, the culture shock is not just America, Malta, but also amongst these various nationalities. Mm-hmm. Did you make friends then with at least some of the people that you met up with?
I still talk with on a weekly basis or a monthly basis with almost half of them. The other half, I see them post something on Facebook and we spend the next 3 hours chatting about how their life's going. I mean, I met up with them a number of times. I went to London to meet up friends there around 14 times, and that really put a dent in my pocket, but it was worth it, every single penny. This summer, I even went to Bratislava. Kristina Chafa actually organized a conference there. As she said, it's an excuse for us to meet up, but at the same time for us to meet new people and to train ourselves more and keep us on the tip of our toes.
And in fact, that is one of the things that BTF does, is have like an alumni group that you do carry on the process afterwards. It's not just a one-off and that's it. I think that's part of the ethos of the initiative, really.
And what about you, Emma? How did you find it when you suddenly found yourself with this group of unknown people?
Well, going back to what you said, Patricia, about Ben Franklin, I think he was a really good muse for the program because he really prized tolerance over intolerance and especially freedom of speech. And I think one of the most precious the things that BFTF left with me was that I really could put a face to a country. You know, before, when you think about different countries, you have this perception of America being this really grand continent, you know, and the UK and different European countries. And as Alex mentioned, you would have maybe some preconceived stereotypes about them. But once I went to BFTF and I met all these different people, it really made me interested even post-BFTF, you know. So now, whenever I see a news article about something just happening in Azerbaijan or Serbia, where before I really wouldn't, you know, I would be interested, but I wouldn't have that much interest. So I say, oh, I know someone from there. So that really makes me motivated to go and pursue these kind of things. Regarding the whole group of fellows, we were a group of about 44. And honestly, they have been such amazing. I formed such amazing friendships with them. I still talk to most of them even on a daily basis because we formed an organization while we were at BFTF. And obviously working on that really helps us stay together and build these bridges between different countries.
So it really looks as though the idea of fostering relations between American and European youth in different ethnic, religious and national groups has really worked out from what you're saying. And tell me a little bit about what you actually then do, because it's a very intensive 3 to 4 week thing. So I'm reading here from the script, but it says things like training sessions, workshops, community-based programs, study tours, cultural events. Perhaps you, Alex, you could describe some of those.
Well, the first week I spent in lecture rooms. We had lectures, we had sessions, workshops. It was very intensive. We used to spend 6 to 7, sometimes even 9 hours a day. And it's not because they wanted us to stay there, because they wanted us to go, because they wanted to go to sleep, but we used to stay in there and keep arguing. I'm sure Emma can tell you about the north, south, east, west. It took us till midnight to finish it. We ended up declaring war on one country and then making peace and then making a trade agreement with another one. It was really complicated. We ended up drafting a resolution for it. The project managers just stared at us blankly and said, this rarely happens. And the only time we see it happen is here every year. It was something that just kept us going. The second week, we went on a road trip, if I recall correctly. It's a long time. And we remember spending 11 hours on a bus with...
Oh, yeah, that was...
We were 60 people in my year, so there was 30 and 30. And we ended up doing all sorts of shenanigans. I mean, if someone fell asleep, I had my face painted over with flowers and permanent marker.
Photos, hello, we have a whole archive of those photos of people just, like, snoring.
It was something. That's when we actually went to Philadelphia and Washington, which was an experience in itself.
So you got to see these iconic buildings and places.
I remember seeing the American president just doing a press conference in front of the White House. We weren't allowed to walk in. And I remember like being very conscious about not speaking in Maltese because I was really scared. However, the thing that stayed with me the most was, well, two things. One, staying with the host family, because that's where I got to know the daily American life. And I don't think I got to know the real daily American life because I was with Greg, and Greg is, I think, the craziest host parent you can ever have. We went from hiking 21 miles to, he took us shooting, he took us fishing, he took us swimming. We did, I think, 6,000 miles in 4 days with his car.
Wow.
It was amazing. And the second thing was we actually built a house. We were given the task of building a house. It was a community project. I remember it was 42 degrees Celsius, and we were drinking water, and it was just leaking out of us straight away. And by the end of it, we were, some of us actually passed out, like, of exhaustion. They just sat down and fell asleep. And I have this photo, and every time I see it, I just say, that was a really good day. I had my first Subway sandwich, and I was enjoying it so much. And then they called my name, I just look up, and they took a photo of my face. And it was, that's my most vivid
memory. You were really enjoying your sandwich.
Yes.
You well deserved after building a house.
Exactly.
And of course, the building of a house in those circumstances would be a special experience, because there's not a house that you would be building like in Malta, obviously.
What's really astounded me is we're so used to building with stone. And there they actually got a skeleton of a house, they towed it in place, they bolted it in place, and then we were just attaching windows to it, we were attaching these metal sheets, and then over them, like, insulation. You end up filling this much with insulation, metal, plastic, wood, and some more, I think it was metal and plastic, some sort of combination of them. And I was really amazed how fast we built it. We were 30 people working on it, and then 10 people from Habitat for Humanity, and so 40 people in total. But we just, it went up. We spent 8 hours there, and from morning till late afternoon. But it just went up, and they only had to do minor fittings in the inside of the house, furniture and stuff like that.
Sounds great. So that was your community-based project, mm-hmm. I presume. And you were lucky also with the family, because obviously not all families would be quite like that. So you had a fortunate experience in that way. What about you, Emma?
Well, definitely, I went expecting lots of classes and workshops, because that's something which they really put an emphasis on. And they were, as Alex mentioned, they were super interesting. We had a citizenship and conflict class, which was really good. We got to learn more about debates and communication between different states, which was really interesting and thought-provoking. We also had a social entrepreneurship class, which was actually something I never really got into before. I was never really involved in business. I didn't really have an interest in it. But the mentor at BFTF really presented this to us in a different way. Social entrepreneurship is basically creating a company to create profit socially and obviously benefit for the whole community, even if it's on a national or regional or even international level, whilst, you know, still making some profit for yourself. So it's business with a more socially angled perspective and aim. The cultural events were really interesting, especially Philadelphia and DC. We got to go around all these different monuments, which, you know, you see these things in films, like, for example, the Lincoln Monument. And once you're actually there, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm here. So that was really
very
an amazing, extremely. But it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And Philadelphia is something I will never forget at all, because it was really lovely when we were there and, you know, spending time with all the fellows and bonding, not just about, you know, America and, like, you know, how amazing the place was in general, but even just talking and just forming these friendships. Then what I think was a really important part of the program was at the last 2 weeks we had these philanthropical activities where we really gave back to the community, because obviously once you're there you really have to give back. And we had an activity where we went to the food market and sorted out bad food from good food, which for them they had very high standards, but even the bad food for them was something even like with a dent maybe or a small scratch. And this food would go for free to the poor people of the community. And we actually went and gave these crates to them and stayed talking to them for some time, which was really lovely. And an activity I'll definitely remember was when we had a children's day, sort of. There were these younger kids from around Winston-Salem and Wake Forest, and they just came to spend the day with us. And we were divided into sections, and it was made, the point of the activity was to let them know more about our country. So, obviously, not many people know about Malta, like, it's quite tiny.
You surely have to explain exactly where it was.
I was telling them, yes, my country, and it's super sunny, and people are really friendly, and I was really proud of it there. But once I mentioned how small it was, I was trying to find it on the map. And I was like, there it is, and they're like, where? There, right there.
You need to use the magnifying glass, the map isn't too big.
But it was super, it was a really lovely experience. And even the whole giving back to the community thing, I think I enjoyed perhaps maybe the most. Because once you're actually taking action and doing something directly and seeing those results in front of you and putting a smile on people's faces, it just makes everything really worthwhile.
What about the family you stayed with?
That was when I actually got to know mostly about American life and culture, because obviously once you're in the university, you are kind of cut off from, you know, what is real life as such in America, because we were going to classes. I was surrounded by not just Americans, but also many Europeans. So when we spent some time with the host family for about 10 days, and I was with the Georgian fellow, we really got to see what life was like on a day-to-day basis. My host family was a bit less crazier than Greg's. They were, you know, there was a family and their two younger kids were absolutely adorable. And they used to take us, you know, on average activities, which you would say, like, you know, those really family-oriented activities. But also on different things, like, which you would really associate with American culture. We went to see a baseball game, which was really lovely. We went to see a bluegrass concert, and we really got exposed to what life is like. You know, we could ask them questions about what they thought about different things. And it was really amazing, you know, to see what you thought Americans would think about certain issues and what they would really think. And you see the different varieties and perspectives which you all have.
So you were able to meet people beyond your student peers, of course.
Yeah.
What about going back to the different nationalities that, there were? Was there a preponderance of women or men, or do they seem like half and half? Or
pretty balanced, I would say, in our group.
I think in our year, actually, there was 60% girls to 40 or even less boys. It was something we had actually discussed, and at one point we were split into two groups to debate against each other, and they realized it was a bit unbalanced because of the amount of people. But it didn't really take that much of a... It wasn't that evident, but at the same time you could feel it if you looked for it.
And you said you went shooting and fishing. Do describe these activities to us, because I'm sure it's not like shooting and fishing in Malta.
No, we actually just went to a target range, mm-hmm. and I mean, we were only allowed 2 bullets each, so it wasn't much, and we were guided through. It was very, very, very strict and regimented, as it should be. We went fishing. He took us to his family's place, his auntie's, I think. I'm actually still friends with her on Facebook. And we went to Nag's Head, it's called. It's on the... it's the first time I ever saw the ocean. And I was like, I'm used to the sea. And then I saw the ocean. I was like, no, I'm not used to this. No way I'm used to this. The waves, and they call it a calm day, the waves were about a meter high sometimes. And I remember, like, me and there was another Alex with me who was staying with Greg. He was from Belarus, so he rarely saw the sea at all or water. So he just went in, and then we see him coming back in, like, with the wave, just took him off his feet, and we were laughing at him, and he got really grumpy, and then just started laughing as well. That was really nice. And then we just rented a fishing pole, and we went, for the first time, I went on a pier. And I was amazed at how much the tide changes, because we were on the beach for 4 hours, and it was visible, the amount of water that went down. It was around 20 meters at one point. Because the pier was really, really far out. And I remember catching a fish around 5 centimeters big, and I threw it back in.
That moment of pride.
Yes. Some pay on the
fish. Take a photo.
I don't remember. I think Greg took photos. They're somewhere on my Gmail account. It's a while back. And the best thing was seeing the countryside and seeing how much it changed and how different the people were. People at Nag's Head were what you would call slightly below the Bible Belt, and that made a difference. Greg and his family are quite open and quite open-minded, and this was really nice, but we met some people who's like, oh, so you're from outside America, so how is it out there? Do you have... One of them actually asked me, do you have internet? Because she thought, like, when I showed her Malta, she's like, okay, Africa, do you have internet?
Yep, exactly, they made the same association with me.
And there was this difference, even in educated people, and sometimes non-educated people, in the sense they didn't go to university or to higher secondary, they actually were more knowledgeable about the outside than the people there. It just showed a mixture of feelings and emotions that they had, but as Emma...
Perceptions.
Yes.
Obviously, different interests and priorities,
I suppose. As Emma said, what I saw was, during the baseball game, it was on the 4th of July, and the patriotism was, I've never seen someone so proud, and they should be, of their country. And it really stuck with me. I said, why aren't we like this in Malta? Why aren't we so proud to be Maltese?
We had gone to see this kind of exhibit about the Constitution. And we had this presentation, and they began, you know, we the people of the United States of America. And I looked at the American fellows, and most of them were literally mouthing the words to the Constitution. I'm like, this is so different to where I come from, you know? Mm. And I think that's what was important about seeing, you know, America just outside of the university. In BFTF, obviously, we were a very concentrated group of intellectual people. You know, we had studied and stuff. We had similar interests. Once you go outside, and even, you know, while traveling from state to state, you really see the different kind of people and variety, and it was really there, in essence, which was important, I think, as well.
And do you think, obviously now you've come back into your usual Malta life, do you really think that this experience has opened your minds? I mean, it sounds as though it has, but do you think the goals have been reached in your case, Alex?
In my case, it definitely changed me. I came back a changed person. My grandfather actually told me, you're not Alex anymore, because I changed the way I think, I changed the way I perceive things, and how active I was as a student. I mean, I entered university, I remember running to different student organization stands and asking if I can help out. I mean, now I'm in SQ, Science Student Society, I'm the vice president, and I couldn't have been here if it was not for BFTF and the energy and the skills it gave me, because it helped me along the way to not just deal with others, but deal with myself and know what I need to do and know how to deal with certain situations that we simulated in BFTF, which sometimes when we're doing something and I'm like, I did this before, and then it's been a while, so I was like, where did I do this before? And then I remember, like, we had these workshops there, and it actually changes the way you think. Even internationally, my colleagues that I work with mostly don't try to think international, but I always am trying, and they hate me for it. I was, oh, we should try and do this, we should try and get students from the UK, oh, we should try to get someone from the US, or we should try to get someone from there. And they're like, Alex, we don't have the money. And
slight problem.
Yes, very, very small problem, but it could be fixed.
And you, Emma, do you really feel that you're using those skills now in the kind of work that you do?
Definitely, latching on to what Alex was saying before, like I'm always mentioning, even the projects I'm doing, like if someone mentions that they're going to the UK or to France or to Cyprus, I'm like, I know someone from there, I know someone from there, which really annoys people, but you know, I think BF really left me with a global perspective on things. You really start to see the world as a global community rather than, you know, it's Malta, then Cyprus, then France, then Germany. We're really not blocks, but you know, cooperation really is the key, I believe, to moving forward. And something which BFTF definitely left with me with was we had started up an organization there, as I mentioned before, which we called the Global Organization for Aspiring Leaders. And in fact, the website is going to be launched tomorrow, so I'm super excited about that. But what it is essentially a network of young people from BFTF, as in my year. We formed a network of people from all over Europe and the US, and it's mainly the aim is to really target youth apathy and make young people know they really can make a change in their community, because that's something which BFTF left me with. I came back and I said, like, you know, now I really feel like I have the tools to make change and I know how to approach it. I know how to target different things, and I really changed my perspective on all of these issues.
That's absolutely wonderful. Well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time. Thank you so much for coming to tell us about your experiences on this initiative. The nominations can be received on or before February 20th, 2015 for the next lucky student who will be chosen to go next year, and the information can be found on the Embassy of the United States of America website, Maltese website. So anybody wanting further information can go on the website and get it. Thank you so much to the two of you.
Thank you so much for having us.
You've been listening to University Matters on Campus FM. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye. Il-programm li għadkom kemm smajtu kien miġju plilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.